forward.
A few specific bequests and the residue as anticipated. The last will and testament of Alan Charles Finlay of Craigmount, Annan Road, Dumfries. It's dated 14th of March, 1931. That's just 6 months ago. I, Alan Charles Finlay, being of sound mind, from my disposable estate do hereby make the following bequests. To my surviving brother, James, the sum of £10,000. To the Church of Scotland Assembly, £10,000 to be discharged in charitable works at their discretion. To my nephew, Alan Finlay, the sum of £5,000.
£5,000?
You see? There is, however, a condition attaching to this last bequest. The terms of the will require that Dr. Finlay...
£5,000 is an awful lot of money, Dr. Finlay.
Aye, Janet. It would buy four or five houses in the present market.
That would be a sound investment, Dr. Finlay.
Well, before you both spend it and invest it all for me, I'd better tell you the rest of the story.
Are there strings attached here?
More like ropes, I'd say.
What on earth do they expect of you?
Well, to put it bluntly, if I'm to get that 5,000, I'll have to pull up my roots here and set up practice in Dumfries.
What will you do, Dr. Finlay?
I don't know. It's not the sort of thing you can decide overnight.
Well, you could establish a fine practice with that sort of capital behind you.
Wish, Dr. Cameron, you think you wanted Dr. Finlay to leave us.
Dr. Finlay's a young man with a practical decision to make, Janet. We must not be sentimental about
it. I'm sorry, Dr. Cameron. I did think it would be practical for Dr. Finlay to stay here, where he has patients who know him and need him.
Well, I've got surgery to attend to. Perhaps one of you'll let me know when you've made my decision for me.
We have a very delicate situation on our hands, Janet. You'd better leave it entirely to me. I must ask you in the circumstances not to attempt to sway Dr. Finlay in either direction.
That's a very nasty lesion you have there, Mr. Hamilton. And what's more, it's highly infectious.
Eh?
You realize this is part of what you were treated for in Glasgow 10 years ago.
It can't be, Doctor. That cleared up long since.
Aye, the rash cleared. And the other symptoms. But this particular disease hides itself away for years.
Eh?
Tell me, did they not give you any treatment to follow on with after you left the infirmary?
Aye, they gave me some pills and some ointment, but there was nothing to see, so I didn't bother.
And you didn't go back for any checkup?
There wasn't any point. There was nothing to see.
Well, there is now. And you're going back to that treatment centre just as soon as I can get you there.
Oh, that'll put me off work. Can you not do something here?
I'll be blunt with you, Hamilton. For one thing, as you are now, you're a menace to everyone who comes in contact with you. And for another thing, if you don't do exactly as I tell you, you're going to die.
Die?
Hold on a minute. Hello, Arden House. Dr. Finlay here, yes? How long ago? 10 minutes. Well, has he missed any insulin injections? Well, what about the diet? Mrs. Callagher, we don't make out those instructions for fun. Yes, yes, just leave him. I'll be over there right away.
But you seem so well, the sweet doctor. I thought a bit of the pudding wouldn't hurt him.
Do you not understand? Your husband is diabetic. Any form of sugar's poison to him.
I'm sorry, Doctor. I didn't realise.
Well, I thought Dr. Cameron had made it clear. Anyway, we'll balance up his insulin and he should come out of the coma right away. There. Now, just give him a minute or two. Now, I'm going to prepare a diet sheet for him, and you must stick to it exactly. If he really likes chocolate pudding, you can use a sugar substitute.
Where will I get that?
Don't worry. I'll give you all the details.
Oh, Dr. Finlay, what are you doing here?
You had a blackout. Too much sugar. You're going to have to be more careful.
We're well that, Doctor.
Now, if one of you will call round to the surgery in the morning, I'll give you the sheets. And you make sure, before you eat anything, that you check it with the list.
Excuse me, ma'am. There was a phone call for Dr. Finlay. Has wandered out of the cottage hospital. Very urgent, they say.
Temperature 104, pulse 130.
He's been a little delirious, Doctor.
Well, I'm not surprised. This thumb's the cause of it. Must have been just a small whittler to start with. Oh, what the hell's the matter with people in this town?
His mother's waiting outside, Doctor.
I'd better have a word with her. Get him into the ward. Quarter hourly pulse and temperature. Mrs. McIntosh.
Yes, Doctor. What's the matter with him?
I'm afraid your boy's got set to see me. We've got a fight on our hands.
But he'll be all right.
Now, if I said yes, I'd be less than honest. We'll do everything in our power. How long has his thumb been like that?
It started last week, Doctor.
Well, you should have brought him to me then.
It was just a wee blister, Doctor. We kept it bandaged.
A bandage is no treatment for a septic finger.
Well, Mistress Ross said it would be all right.
Oh, that bism. Don't you realize she's an unqualified village midwife, a damned witch? What you've done is saved yourself a 5-shilling doctor's fee and put your boy's life in danger.
But, Doctor, I didn't ken. I didn't ken.
It's the same with all of them. They didn't ken. It's like the whole of Tannock Braes in the throes of a death wish.
You've had a bad day, Dr. Finlay. You know very well there are compensations on other days.
The tragedy is that the boy need never have been put in that position. We're not just practicing medicine here. We're fighting ignorance. Pig ignorance. You know, it might be a good thing to start from scratch with an entirely new list of patients.
Are you suggesting that the people of Dumfries are less ignorant than those of Tannock Braes? Or will you be choosing your patients on a test of intelligence?
Ah, you make it sound pretty daft.
It is pretty daft.
Oh, well, thank you.
Dr. Finlay, might I suggest that you relax and look at your dilemma calmly and objectively? You have no need to manufacture excuses, either to me or to yourself.
Is that what it looks like? Yes, I suppose you're right. That's all right, I'll take it. Arden House, Dr. Finlay speaking. Oh, yes, sister. I see. All right, sister, well, keep sponging him down. I'll be over there in 10 minutes. Young Bobby McIntosh, he's reaching a crisis. Tell Janet not to wait up. I might be pretty late.
I wish the boy well, Dr. Finlay.
Oh, and Dave, by the way, about the other thing. I'll let you have my answer by the end of the week.
Oh, Doctor, thank God you've come, Doctor. Sister says he's awfully bad.
I know, Mrs. McIntosh. They've just sent for me.
What am I going to do, Doctor?
Now, there's nothing you can do right now. It's going to be a long night. It'd be much better if you went home and rested.
Can't you rest, Doctor?
Well, all right, then, Edna. You stay here. I'll get one of the nurses to bring a cup of tea.
Pulse 150, Doctor.
Now, we'll try some more oxygen. Then, Bobby. Yeah. I just tried to breathe deeply. Better ask his mother to come in, sister.
Yes, Dr. Finlay. I'll let her.
Hold on, Bobby. Hold on.
Come this way, Mrs. McIntosh.
Bobby! Bobby!
There, Dr. Finlay, there's a cup of tea all ready for you.
Thank you, Janet. You didn't wait all night, did you?
No, Doctor, I'm just up to get the breakfast. I'm sorry about the wee boy.
Oh, it's such a waste. If only his mother had brought him to me when he just had a sore thumb.
Oh, that poor woman. I don't know how she will live with it.
Thanks for the tea, Janet. Is there any more?
Oh, yes, Doctor. I'll just put some more water to it. Did you make up your mind yet about Dumfries?
Oh, Janet. I don't seem to be doing much good here in Tannock Braes.
If I may say so, Dr. Finlay, you are being very unfair to yourself and to Tannock Braes.
Oh, no. I'm sure this town will get along fine without me.
Your modesty does you credit, Dr. Finlay, but I can see your mind is made up.
I didn't say that, Janet.
I can't say that I blame you. £5,000 is a lot of money.
Janet! I'm sorry, Janet. I'm not going to say anything until I've had some sleep. Forget the tea.
I'm sorry, Dr. Finlay. I, I did not mean any offence.
Well, everything else is in good order, Mrs. Coulter. Heart, blood pressure, general constitution. If it were not your first baby, I'd have no worries at all.
Is that going to be difficult, Dr. Cameron?
Well, probably not at all. The baby's lying the wrong way around at the moment. But if it doesn't move of its own accord within the week, we'll see if we can apply a little persuasion.
Oh, dear. Does that mean an operation?
Good heavens, no. Merely a little manipulation from the outside. Don't even think about it.
If you say so, Doctor. When do you want to see me again?
Well, you belong to Dr. Finley, really, so you'd better make it next Thursday morning. You'll be taking surgery.
Thank you, Dr. Cameron. I'll be along.
And don't worry about a thing. I'm sure you're going to have a bonny, healthy baby.
Oh, I do hope so, Doctor.
Is that the priest, 4652? I'd like to speak to Mr. Gillespie, please. Thank you. Hello. Mr. Gillespie? This is Dr. Finley here. Alan Finley. Hi, from Tannock Bray. I'd like to talk to you some more about my uncle's will. Could I come over and see you, say, at the end of the week? Yes, Friday afternoon will be fine. About 3 o'clock. Yes, I'll be there. No, I just want to know how soon I'll have to move. All right, we'll talk about it then. Thank you. Goodbye.
I could not help overhearing you, Dr. Finley. Do I take it you have reached a decision?
I'm just trying to find out more about the conditions.
I thought they made it clear to you after the funeral.
Oh, there's a few points to be sorted out yet.
Can I pour coffee for you, Dr. Finley?
Thanks. I'll be perfectly frank with you, Dr. Cameron. I didn't really want to leave.
I could see, Dr. Finley, once a man is settled into a career and a way of life, it is not easy to make this sort of juxtaposition, but...
But what? Ever since this opportunity came up, you've made it perfectly clear that you can't wait to see me go back to Dumfries.
I'm very sorry if I've given you that impression.
Well, it's been pretty obvious. You've taken great trouble to point out the advantages of having £5,000 in a new practice, as if I didn't know them myself. And then there's Janet.
What about Janet?
Oh, nothing.
You must tell me. Has Janet said something to you about this problem?
I think it's more what she didn't say. She seems to be quite convinced it's the money that's going to influence me.
And it is not, of course.
I thought you knew me better than that.
Your ideals have sometimes been a thorn in my side, Dr. Finley. But that does not mean that you must ignore the material aspect of the situation. Just consider. You came to this practice as a young postgraduate, seeing nothing of the profession other than a year in hospital.
Aye.
It so happened you were somewhere near to being compatible with my own image of what a good junior partner should be. But it is only fair to you, Dr. Finley, that you should pay particular attention to the possibility of starting your own practice on these advantageous terms.
I think you ought to know it's not just the money that makes it a difficult decision.
I did not think for one moment it was, Dr. Finley.
My Uncle Alan was rather important in my life. For one thing, I was named after him. And then, when my father was in difficulties, he paid half my fees at the university.
Aye.
Well, I knew he hoped that I'd go back to Dumfries after I'd qualified. But I didn't know how seriously he took it until I heard the will.
You feel you owe it to him to go back?
Taking everything into account, Dr. Cameron, I think I'll be going.
I'm just away for the messages, Dr. Cameron. Is there anything you want from the town?
Thank you, Janet. If you wouldn't mind going to the post office for a few penny stamps.
Of course, Doctor.
Dr. Finley is just starting on his rounds. I'm sure he'll be glad to drop you off.
I'm ready when you are.
He may not have many more opportunities to do so.
Hello, Janet.
Oh, what makes it colder? My, you're looking fine and well. How long is it now?
Dr. Cameron thinks it'll be about a fortnight.
Aye, I saw you in the waiting room this morning. And it's all going well, is it?
I think so. Dr. Cameron said the baby's the wrong way round, but Dr. Finley will move it next week.
Oh, you'll be fine then. Do you have time for a cup of tea in the cafe?
Oh, no. Jamie will be home for his dinner in half an hour. I must away over to the butcher's before he gets too busy.
All right, Betsy. Betsy! Mind the road, Betsy! Oh, Betsy. Oh, thank God he didn't hit her. Betsy, are you all right?
She just came from nowhere. I didn't see her.
Yes, I saw it. It was not your fault. But it was a nasty fall. Now, Betsy, let's have a look at you.
The pain, Josh. Down there. Huh? I think it's the baby.
Well, never mind. We'll see. You're all right.
Is there anything I can do?
Yes, she might be in labor. Will you please put her in your car and take her to the cottage hospital? I'll away and call Dr. Gerald.
I came as soon as I got the call. How is she, sister?
Oh, she's fine, Dr. Cameron. Still a bit shocked, but she's recovering well.
And the pains?
About 20 minutes apart, Doctor. I think you'll have plenty of time.
Good, good. Well, how are you feeling, Mrs. Coulter?
All right, thank you, Doctor. Apart from the pains, is the baby really coming?
I think so. We'll not have time to turn it round. But don't worry, we'll give you plenty of help. Do you have any other damage from the accident?
No. I just scraped my knee a little. The car didn't hit me, you can.
You were very lucky.
Oh, it was my own fault.
Oh, you're certainly looking in good shape. I'll just check your heart again. Will you just breathe in and hold it for a moment? You sound healthy enough. We'll just have to give you an anesthetic when the time comes. How long since you've eaten?
Not since breakfast. I just had tea and toast.
Good. That should make things easier.
It's coming on again, Doctor.
Don't worry. It'll soon pass. Let's take a wee look at you while you're still contracting.
Betsy Coulter's my patient right enough, Janet. But if I go to the hospital now, there'll be no one to take the evening surgery. She'll be all right with Dr. Cameron.
Hey, you've a full waiting room out there.
Well, then I'd better finish my tea and make a start. There's something bothering me about Betsy Coulter. And I don't know what it is. She's only been in Tannockbrae 2 years, hasn't she?
Not exactly, Doctor. She was born here. The family moved away to Lanark. Betsy came back when she got married.
Oh, that's right. Her grandmother's still a patient of mine.
Aye, Doctor. That would be old Mrs. Geraghty.
Ah. Mm. Oh, well, that's solved up. I better get to work. No rest for the wicked.
Hold on, Betsy. It'll pass in a moment.
10 minutes apart now, Dr. Cameron.
Time for us to start work shortly.
Right, Doctor.
How long will it take, Doctor?
Not more than 2 hours. It's our time. You were wondering what all the fuss was about. You just rest now while I have a word with Sister.
If you'd like to come through to my office, Doctor.
Yes, I'd like to rest in there for a while, if you don't mind. You can move Mrs. Coulter to the labor room now. I'm going to need instruments, of course.
Nurse Donahue has everything ready, Doctor. The instruments are in the sterilizer.
Really, Mr. Burns, I don't see your point in coming here. You complain about the symptoms recurring, and yet you don't take the medicine I prescribed for you.
Have you tasted it, Dr. Finlay? It's terrible.
Mr. Burns, there are very few remedies available that taste like fine old Scotch whiskey. And for your complaint, there are none. If you want to get well, you've got to take what's given you. Otherwise, I suggest you stay home and let me give the time to people who do want to get well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor.
So you just go home now and carry on with the treatment. And don't come to see me again till you finish the bottle.
Aye, Dr. Finlay.
Good day to you.
Could you just take a look at this wee cut on my leg? It's no much, but it keeps opening and bleeding.
Aye, quickly then. Bleeding? Oh, God. The Geraghtys.
Hey, what's the matter?
Put a plaster on it, Mr. Burns. It'll be all right. Get me the cottage hospital, and quickly.
Women's Surgical, Sister Murdoch. Just one moment, please. It's for you, Dr. Cameron.
Thank you, sister. Hello, Cameron here.
Dr. Cameron, how's Betsy Coulter?
She's fine, Dr. Finlay. I'll be delivering shortly.
Tell me this, is it going to be a breach?
Yes, it is. I'll have to use instruments, but she'll be all right.
Dr. Cameron, I'm coming right away. Get her into the theatre for a cesarean. And whatever you do, don't use the instruments on that baby.
No instruments? Why on earth not?
Because if it's a boy, you'll kill him.
swab system. Then the scissors. Thank you. What was it to put you onto it?
Just listening to the grandmother reminiscing. There's nothing in the medical record, you understand.
Swab system. Now the scalpel. Thank you. Yes, Dr. Finley?
She was remembering back to her mother. We're talking about the middle of the 19th century, you know. There hasn't been a male child born to the female side of this family since 1852. And that was the old lady's elder brother. He bled to death after a minor accident at the age of 5.
Retract us quickly, sister. So if this child we're about to deliver as a boy, then he's almost certainly a hemophiliac?
About 10-1 on. If you'd bruised him with the instruments, he'd have died of internal bleeding.
I'm very grateful for your timely warning. More swabs, quickly, sister. Now give me a hand here. Huh? And suddenly you got to come. Easy now. Easy. There. Well, Dr. Finley. Here's your final irony.
My God. It's a girl.
It could just as easily have been a boy, Dr. Finley. Your caution was totally justified.
What would have happened if it had been a boy, Dr. Finley?
He'd have been a hemophiliac, Janet. A bleeder. In a case like that, even the slightest cut or bruise could be fatal.
Then what about the poor mother? Will she not go on bleeding after the operation?
It's one of the strange quirks of life, Janet, that your sex does not suffer from this disease. And yet, it is the female that passes it down through the generations.
Well, thank God the mother and child are all right. Perhaps Betsy Coulter will not have any boys.
At least we are pre-warned for her next pregnancy.
It'd be a lot safer if she didn't have any more children.
It's another characteristic of the female sex that they will continue to reproduce against all the odds. The maternal instinct is something we cannot eradicate. And I am quite sure we should not attempt to do so.
Amen to that.
Have you considered, Dr. Finley, that if it were not for your intimate knowledge of your patients and their families, the Geraghty problem will never have come to light? Or at least not as it was maybe too late.
Aye. I've considered it.
And how long do you think it will take to develop the same relationship with your new patients in Dumfries?
I'll not be going to Dumfries.
That is the best news I've heard today.
What about the money, Dr. Finley?
Whatever Janet might think, money isn't everything.
Oh, Dr. Finley, I'm very sorry I said that about the money. I really did not mean it. It was just my clumsy way of trying to persuade you to stay with us.
I understand, Janet. When it came to the point, I just couldn't bring myself to leave Arden House.
We are very flattered, Dr. Finley. What will happen now about the £5,000?
I checked up on that with the solicitor. If I don't take up the offer, I can donate money to any charity of my choice.
And have you decided on a charity?
Oh, it's not much choice, really. It'll have to go to the research into haemophilia.
A commendable decision, Dr. Finley.
It's either that or establish my own fund.
To what aim, Dr. Finley?
The eradication of ignorance among GP's patients.
A hymn to the impossible.
This week's story from Dr. Finley's casebook was Going Home by Pat Dunlop, featuring Andrew Cruikshank as Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Finley. Hamilton was played by Fraser Carr, Burns by Joe Dunlop, Mrs. McIntosh by Ellen McIntosh, the sister by Audrey Muir, and Mrs. Coulter by Susan Sheridan. The characters were created by A.J. Cronin and the play produced by Edward Taylor.